Welcome to Zichud Asim Manim, I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Masechas Erevin Daf Dalet. So the three topics are going to focus on, number one, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel stated in a brisa, Ko amu shamu chuchamim b'klaim, ba'amu bashisha u'bilavad shua yivmutzom samos. All the amu units the chuchamim mentioned in regard to klaim are measured using an amu of six tefachim, provided they should not be precise, meaning they should be loose tefach amos. The Gemara suggests that stipulating that klaim requires six tefachim amos implies that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that with regards to a sukkah and a mavui, five tefachim amos are used, which would support a bais position. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel may have come to exclude the amu units mentioned in context of the yesod ha-mizbeach, the base of the mizbeach, hasovev, its ledge, hakranos, its horns, mizbeach hazahav, as well as the width and depth of the golden mizbeach, which were all measured using five tefachim amu units. Point number two, Rabbi Chiya Rashi said in the name of Rab, Shi'urin chatzitzin u'mechitzin halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Standard measurements, interpositions, and partitions are all laws which were given orally to Moshe at Har Sinai. After proving that the laws of chatzitzin, interpositions, are in fact deraisa, and that hair is also chotzes deraisa, the Gemara clarifies that Rab was referring to halacha, which Rabbi Yitzchak taught, Dvar Torah rubo u'makbid olev chotzes. According to Torah law, meaning halach Moshe Mitzrayim, something on one's hair is only a chatzitza if it covers the majority of the hair and if one objects to it being there. Rashi gives the example of dried blood, ink, clay, or tar. Rashi also explains that if one doesn't object to the object being on his hair, it's considered part of the body. The Rabban decreed that even if only one factor exists, meaning it covers most of one's hair, or if he objects to it being on his hair, the tevila is invalid. And point number three, the Gemara challenges Rav's assertion that the halacha of mechitzos is a halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim from one of Rav's own teachings, in which he states that we derive the law that a mechitza is 10 tefachim from the fact that the arn was 9 tefachim and the kaporos was 1 tefach for a total of 10 tefachim. The Gemara answers that Rav was referring to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the height of the arn was only 7.5 amos, and therefore it can't serve as the source for mechitzos. According to Rabbi Meir, the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim regarding mechitzos is coming to teach the halachos of good, extending a wall up or down, lavud, viewing small gaps in a wall as closed, and dofen akuma, the law of a bent wall of a sukkah. So once again, the three points are number one. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel stated in a braisa, Kol amu shamu chuchamim mekalayim, ba'amu bashisha, ubevad shua yimitzumtzumos. All the amu units the chuchamim mentioned in regard to klaim are measured using an amu of six tefachim, provided they should not be precise, meaning that they should be loose tefach amos. The Gemara suggests that stipulating that klaim requires six tefachim amos implies that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that with regards to a sukkah and a mavui, five tefachim amos are used, which would support a bais position. So the Gemara answers that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel may have come to exclude the amu units mentioned in context of the yesod ha-mizbeach, the base of the mizbeach, hasovev, its ledge, hakranos, the horns of the mizbeach, mizbeach hazahav, as well as the width and depth of the golden mizbeach, which were all measured using five tefachim amu units. Point number two, Rabbi Chiya Barashi said in the name of Rav, Shi'urin chatzitzin u'mechitzin halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Standard measurements, interpositions, and partitions are all laws which were given orally to Moshe at Har Sinai. After proving that the laws of chatzitzin, interpositions, are in fact deraisa, and that hair is also chotzeis deraisa, the Gemara clarifies that Rav was referring to halacha which Rabbi Yitzchak taught, Dvar Torah rubo u'makbid olev chotzeis. According to Torah law, meaning halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, something on one's hair is only a chatzitza if it covers the majority of the hair and if one objects to it being there. Rashi gives the example of dried blood, ink, clay, or tar. Rashi also explains that if one does not object to the object being on his hair, it's considered as part of the body and therefore it's not chotzes. The Rabban decreed that even if only one factor exists, meaning it covers most of one's hair or if he objects to it being on his hair, the tevila is invalid. And point number three, the Gemara challenges Rav's assertion that the halacha mechitzos is a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim from one of Rav's own teachings, in which he states that we derive the law that a mechitza is 10 tefachim from the fact that the arn was 9 tefachim and the kaporos was 1 tefach for a total of 10 tefachim. The Gemara answers that Rav is referring to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the height of the arn was only 7.5 amos, and therefore it can't serve as the source for mechitzos. According to Rabbi Meir, the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim regarding mechitzos is coming to teach the halachos of good, extending a wall up or down, lavud, viewing small gaps in a wall is closed, and dofen akuma, the law of a bent wall of a sukkah. All right, so now we go to a simcha daf dalet, which is a door, a delet, a door. So here goes. The five tefach door used to measure the base, ledge, and horns of the mizbeach was owned by the craftsman with sticky tar all over his hair, who also used it to teach the laws of good loved and Dauphin Akuma. Once again in slow motion. The five tefach door, that must mean we're on Dalad. The five tefach door used to measure the base, ledge, and horns of the Mizbeach, which reminds us when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that Kalim is measured with six tefachim amos, he might have been coming to exclude the Yesod Soviv Kranos and Mizbeach Zahav, which are measured in five tefachim amos. So the five tefach door used to measure the base, ledge, and horns of the Mizbeach was owned by the craftsman with sticky tar all over his hair, which reminds us, according to Rav, the law of chatzitza, which is halach l'moshe misina, is that if something is covering the majority of the hair and the person is bothered by it, such as dry blood, ink, clay, or tar, then it's chotzetz. So the five tefach door used to measure the base, ledge, and horns of the Mizbeach was owned by the craftsman with sticky tar all over his hair, who also used it to teach the laws of good loved and Dauphin Akuma, which reminds that the law mechitzas, which is halacha l'moshe Misinai, was set in reference to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the arn was only 7.5 amos. According to Rimer, it's coming to teach the laws of good loved and Dauphin Akuma. So once again, the five tefach door used to measure the base, ledge, and horns of the Mizbeach was owned by the craftsman with sticky tar all over his hair, who also used it to teach the laws of good loved and Dauphin Akuma. All right, now it's time for a four blah bah chazara. Daf Kufnun Vav. So the symbol Kufnun Vav is a canoe. So here goes. When a baby was born on the canoe trip, that must mean one Daf Kufnun Vav. When a baby was born on the canoe trip Sunday during the hour of Mars, which reminds us, it was written in Yeshua ben Levi's ledger how a person's nature is determined based on the day of the week he was born. For example, one born on Sunday will be a man of one nature without one trace of any other nature in him. Ravashi says that this means that the person's nature will be either all good without a trace of bad or all bad without a trace of good. The Gemara explains that the reason a person born on Sunday will tend to extremes is because the Ibru Bei Or V'Choshech, on Sunday, the first day of creation, light and darkness were created. Rabbi Chinina said to the Talmidim who read the ledger, they should go and tell Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, "Mazel Yom Gorim El Mazel Shah Gorim." It's not the celestial sign of the day that influences a man's nature. Rather, it's a celestial sign that dominates at the hour of one's birth. For example, one born during the hour of Mars will be a spiller of blood. Rabbi Ashi says that he's destined to either be a bloodletter, thief, shochet, or moel. So when a baby was born on the canoe trip Sunday during the hour of Mars, to the man who's davening finally changes mazal, which reminds Rabbi Chinina holds that mazal determines one's level of intelligence and wealth, and that yesh mazal Yisrael, mazal applies to Yisrael, which Rashi explains to mean that even tefillah and tzedakah cannot change it. Rabbi Yochanan holds, ain mazal Yisrael, the celestial signs hold no sway over Yisrael, which Rashi explains to mean that tefillah and tzedakah can change one's mazal. Their machlokes only refers to individuals, as they both agree on a national level, ain mazal Yisrael. And Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, brings a proof that ain mazal Yisrael from when Avram questioned who was going to inherit him, given that he knew astrologically that he was not destined to have a son. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, tzei mi'iztekaninos shelcha she'ain mazal Yisrael, go outside of your astrology, but the celestial signs hold no sway over Yisrael. So when a baby was born on the canoe trip Sunday during the hour of Mars, to the man whose davening finally changes mazal, everybody sat down for a group meal of bread, and no one was embarrassed. Which reminds us that Gemara brings a number of incidents that illustrate ain mazal Yisrael. In one case, Avlate, a non-Jewish astrologer, had said a certain man was going to die, and Shmuel said if the man was Jewish, he would live. When the man returned alive, Avlate threw off the man's pack of reeds and found a snake cut in pieces. Shmuel asked the man what he had done to make him deserving to be spared from death. The man explained that he saved the man who forgot to bring bread to a group meal from embarrassment by pretending to take bread from him. Shmuel told him that he did a mitzvah and expounded that tzedakah tatzu mamavis and charity saves from death. V'loma misa mashuna, not just from an unusual death, elma misa atzma, but even from death itself. Daf Kufnun Zayin. So the symbol of Kufnun Zayin is ice cream cones. So here goes. Ice cream cones, that must mean we're on Daf Kufnun Zayin. Ice cream cones at the Hilchas Muksa Tzium, which reminds the Gemara brings a Malchukas Marayim between Rav Akiva and Ravina regarding the final halacha Muksa. One said, "Bechol Shabbos Kula halacha Rabbi Shimon Labar Muksa Machmas Mius." Regarding all the Hilchas Shabbos, the law is like Rabbi Shimon that there's no prohibition of Muksa, except in regard to Muksa due to repugnance, such as using in their yashan a used clay lamp. The other said, "But Muksa Machmas Mius nami halacha Rabbi Shimon Labar Muksa Machmas Iser." Even in regard to muksa due to repugnance, the law is like Rabbi Shimon. The halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Shimon only in regard to muksa due to prohibition, such as a lamp in which a flame had been lit on Shabbos. Everyone agrees, though, that muksa makrins chesron kis afil Rabbi Shimon moda. With regard to something that is muksa for fear of monetary loss, even Rabbi Shimon concedes that it is muksa. Examples are Meser Agadol v'yasid shel mechresha, a large saw and a plow blade. So ice cream cones at Hilchas Muksa Siyum were savored by dieting Talmidim released from their vows on Shabbos. Which reminds us, the last mission of the Masechta states, Mafir Nedarim b'Shabbos, we may annul vows on Shabbos, which Rashi explains is referring to a husband annulling his wife's vow. V'nishal Nedarim she'en l'tzorcha Shabbos, and we may seek release from vows from a chacham made to abstain from things that are necessary for Shabbos. Rashi provides the example of one who makes a neder not to eat on Shabbos. Now the Gemara asks, if the Mishnah permits one to seek release from Nedarim, k'shalul hayol panai, in a case where he had no opportunity to do so before Shabbos, Odilma afil hayol panai, or does it refer even to a case in which he did have an opportunity to do so before Shabbos? Our proof is brought from an incident in which the Rabbanim released Rav Zutra, the son of Rav Zera, from a neder, even though he had the opportunity to seek release from it before Shabbos. So ice cream cones at the Hilchas Muxasim were savored by dieting Talmidim, released from their vows on Shabbos, oblivious that right outside in the narrow alley, a corpse was found. Which reminds us, the Mishnah brought an incident in which they shuttered a window with a tapiach, an earthenware flask, and they tied an earthenware vessel with a strand of reed grass in order to determine whether or not there was an opening the size of a tefach in a certain barrel. The Mishnah concludes that we learn from this incident, pokeking modedin b'koshim b'Shabbos, we may shutter, measure, and tie on Shabbos. But Yehuda said in the name of Rav that the incident involved a corpse in a narrow alley where a cracked barrel rested upon the two houses sheltering the corpse, and before the person died, they had shuttered the window with a flask to prevent tumah from entering the house. They then tied the earthenware vessel with a strand of reed grass to see if they could pass it through the crack in the barrel to see if there was a tefach-sized hole in it. If the hole was the size of a tefach, then the tumah would escape through the crack, and the barrel would not serve as a roof of an oel. This would permit them to take out the flask from the window, since the tumah would not spread into the houses. Daf Beis in Erevin. So the symbol for Daf Beis is a house. So the house of prayer, house, that must be run Daf Beis. The house of prayer with crossbeams lowered to 20 amos high, which reminds us, the opening Mishnah states that if a mavui as a korah, a crossbeam placed at the entrance, higher than 20 amos, the korah must be lowered. Rav Yehuda says it doesn't need to be lowered. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Chochamim u'madua el mepiskul shel heichol. The Chochamim derived their ruling from the entrance of the heichol, and Rav Yehuda olamde el mepiskul shel ulam. Rav Yehuda derived his ruling from the entranceway of the antechamber, as it stated in the Mishnah Midos, Piskul shel heichol gavu esrim amah v'rachva eser amos. The entranceway of the heichol is 20 amos high and 10 amos wide, v'shel ulam gavu arbim amah v'rachva esrim. And the entranceway to the antechamber was 40 amos high and 20 amos wide. So the house of prayer, with crossbeams lowered to 20 amos high, was called Beis Mishkan HaMikdash, which reminds us, the Gemara wanted to elaborate how both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda derived their rulings from the same pasuk, v'shchato pesach ohel moed, and he shall slaughter the offering at the entranceway of the ohel moed. The Gemara questions how the Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda can base their dispute on a pasuk referring to the ohel moed, whose entranceway was only 10 amos high. And answers, Ashkan Mishkan de Ikri Mikdash, or Mikdash de Ikri Mishkan. We find in the Torah that the Mishkan is sometimes called the Mikdash, and sometimes the Mikdash is called the Mishkan, as it says in the Pasuk, Vasili Mikdash v'shachanti v'socham, and they shall make for me a Mikdash, and I will dwell in their midst. Here we see that the Mishkan is sometimes called a Mikdash. Therefore, the Pasuk, which the Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda based the ruling on, can be referring to the entrance way of the base of Mikdash, which is higher than 10 amos. So the house of prayer with crossbeams lowered to 20 amos high was called Beis Mishkan HaMikdash, and featured elegant ornamental doors made merely to provide a sense of privacy. Which reminds the Gemara asks that if the Chachamim derived their ruling from the entranceway to the Heichol, then they should require doors like the Heichol had. Yet we know in a later Mishnah that Hekshir Mabui, the adjustment of a Mabui, according to Beis Shammai, requires a Lechi and a Kor, and according to Beis Hillel, a Lechi or a Kor. Neither one requires a door. The Gemara answers, D'alsos Heichol etznius ba'amuhu davidan. The doors of the Heichol were made merely for privacy, which means to lend a sense of dignity to the avoda. Daf Gimel. So the symbol for Daf Gimel is a gamal, a camel. So here goes. The distracted camel. Camel, that must mean we're on Daf Gimel. The distracted camel looking at the prominent heker at the Mabui entrance, which reminds Rav stated on Daf Beis Amud Aleph that the Chachamim will hold that the beam of a Mabui may not be higher than 20 amos, derived the ruling from the height of the entrance into the Heichol, which was 20 amos. On this Daf, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak disagrees and says that the reason the Chachamim limit the Korah's height to 20 amos is Mishum Hekera, to serve as a reminder to differentiate between a Mabui and a Rishus HaRabim. Rashi explains that people will see it and know that the Rabban required it, and they'll not come to confuse the Mabui with the Rishus HaRabim. It also explains why the Rabban held that an Amaltra, a prominence above 20 Amos, is permitted, since people will notice the beam because of it. So the distracted camel, looking at the prominent heker at the Mabui entrance, smashed into a sukkah with some schach above 20 Amos, which reminds the Gemara asks what the halacha is if part of the korah is within 20 amos of the ground and the top part of the korah is above 20 amos. Similarly, what's the halacha if part of the schach is within 20 amos and part of the schach is above 20 amos? Rabbi answered, "B'mavui kasher b'sukkah pasul." The korah of the mavui is valid and the sukkah is pasul. Rabbi from the town of Prazakia explained the difference between the korah and the sukkah. Technically, the sukkah should be valid if the lower part of the schach is within 20 amos, except that since the sukkah is meant for an individual, the person sitting in the sukkah will not be mindful and notice if some of the lower schach is removed and thereby make the sukkah puzzle. In the case of a mavui, however, since it's meant for the public, they'll remind each other to fix it if the lower part of the korah disintegrates. Ravina said that Rabbi was machmir by the sukkah since it's a daraisa, and leaning with the mavui since it's the rabban. The Gemara brings an alternative version of Rabba in which he rules, b'mavui pasul b'sukkah kashera, the korah of the mavui is pasul and the sukkah is valid, with explanations for Rabba's rationale. So the distracted camel, looking at the prominent heker at the mavui entrance, smashed into a sukkah with some schach above 20 amas that was full of unhappy, tight-fisted guests debating the size of an amma. Which reminds us, Abai said in the name of Rav Nachman, amas sukkah va'amas mavui ba'amma bash chamisha. The amma unit mentioned in the laws of sukkah and a mavui is a 5 tefachim unit. And amas kalayim ba'amma bashisha. The amma unit mentioned in the laws of kalayim is 6 tefachim. Rashi explains that Rav Nachman is stating that the amma unit that will result in a chumrah is always used. This must be Rav Nachman's intent. Otherwise, how would he apply different measures when the Mishnah doesn't indicate which measures should be used? Rav has said in the name of Rav Nachman that all amma units are 6 tefachim. Elhalu sochakos v'ahu atzevos. The amos for climb are loose amos, meaning measured with a loose fist, and the amos for a sukkah and a mabui are measured with tight amos, meaning measured with a tight fist. Tight fists are called atsevos, resembling the compressed lips of someone who's sad, and loose fists are called happy, resembling the slightly parted lips of one who smiles. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1, which subject one that something covering the majority of one's hair that the person doesn't want there is chotzes, that's on duff. Dalad, good. Number 2. Which duff we have a mochokas if there is muzzle li Yisrael? That's on duff. Kufnun vav in Masech HaShabbos. Good. Number 3. Which duff do we have the Rebbe Meir holds that the laws of good lovin and dofen akuma are halacha Moshe Mesinai? That's on duff. Dalad, good. Number 4. Which duff do we have what the halacha is if part of a kor or part of schach is higher than 20 amos? That's on duff. Gimel. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we learn what one is allowed to do regarding cramming food into an animal? That's on duff. Kufnun hey. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we learn the Rabban Gamliel holds that Tzar Baal Chaim is a Durabban? That's on duff. Kufnun dalad. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we learn that the Yesod, Sobev, and Kranos in the Mizbech and the Mizbech as a Hav are measured with 5 Tfachim Amos? That's on duff. Dalad, good. Number 8. Which stuff do you want that one can use the sides of an animal? That's on duff. Kufnun dalad. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you want that staka tatsum amavis, which was learned from the story of the person who didn't want to embarrass another person who didn't have bread? That's on duff. Kufnun vav. Good. And finally, question number 10. Which stuff do you want the summation of Hilchos Muksa? That's on duff. Kufnun zayin. Good. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn that one can insulate cold food on Shabbos? That's on duff. Nun Aleph and Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn Atif Tachpela Satan? That's on duff. Yutes and Brachas. Good. And final question number 3. Which stuff do we learn a biris is tahora, a leg garter is tahora? That's on duff. Samakimel and Shabbos. Great. That concludes our pop quiz. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zirku, wishing you a great day and great learning.